It was late at night, and Heidi, who was expecting her second child, was home alone with her three-year-old daughter, Caitlin. Heidi started to go into labor and instantly called 911. Due to a power outage at the time, only one paramedic was able to respond to the call. The house was very, very dark, so the paramedic asked little Caitlin to hold a flashlight high over her mommy so he could see while he helped deliver the baby. Very diligently, little Caitlin did as she was asked, and Heidi pushed and pushed, and after a little while, Connor was born. The paramedic lifted him by his feet, spanked him on the bottom, and Connor began to cry. The paramedic then thanked little Caitlin for her help and asked the wide-eyed three-year-old Caitlin what she thought about all that she had just witnessed. Caitlin quickly responded, "He shouldn't have crawled in there in the first place. Spank him again." Somewhere within that story is an example of parental Christian discipline. I just know it. It's just in there. I know. Our chronology of Christian discipline continues today. And as we first noted, for it truly to be successful, we ascertained that it probably needs to be parental. Chronologically speaking, we have learned that it can't stop there. A new homeowner shares this account. She says, "While carpenters were working outside the old house that I just bought, I busied myself with indoor cleaning. I had just finished washing and scrubbing the floors when one of the workmen asked to come in and use the bathroom. With dismay, I looked from his muddy boots to my newly scrubbed floors, and thinking of a quick solution, I said, 'Hey, wait, just a minute, I'll put down newspapers.' He looked at me and responded, 'That's all right, lady, I'm already trained.'" Somewhere in that account is an example of personal Christian discipline. I just know it. This centers, as we recall, around the reading and the studying of God's Word. If we can see the value of parental Christian discipline and how it can positively impact our children, and we can see and understand the worth of personal Christian discipline and how we can enhance all areas of our adult lives with the reading and studying of His Word, then can we see or identify a need that might follow next? The chronology of Christian discipline is not just and only parental and personal, but it is also and lastly spiritual. What is spiritual Christian discipline, and how should it impact all of us? First, we must understand the third member of the triune Godhead, who is the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of Christians don't understand the Holy Spirit. They get uncomfortable when you talk about the Holy Spirit. And those who are uncomfortable or unfamiliar with the whole church setting will say, "I just don't even like talking about the Holy Spirit." We're going to do it today. The Holy Spirit is actually the third member of the triune Godhead. It is God in three persons, perfect in equality and deity. One is not over the other. They function simultaneously as part of this overall godly ministry, and we understand the importance and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 9, he says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." Now, as a believer, we are assured that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. This comes when we choose to believe in and live for and love Jesus. Parental Christian discipline, when started early and offered daily, helps to ensure this. So in essence, as parents, when we go out and we share the truth of the Gospels, when we read to our children the Word, when we stress in our lives that example, we have a much better shot of creating not only parental Christian discipline and personal Christian discipline, but spiritual Christian discipline, because the Holy Spirit can come into our children and dwell within our children. And I think everybody here would say, "That's what I want for my children." I know it is for us. This is something that must be stressed today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, "Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you and that He lives within you?" Your body does not belong to you. And when taught at childhood, and then when we follow through with this through adulthood, we know that the parental discipline should lead to the personal discipline, which should lead, finally, to spiritual Christian discipline. Now the question is it? Are we spiritually disciplined? 1 John 2:27 reads like this, "But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you, in your hearts, so that you don't need anyone to teach you what is right, for he teaches you all things, and he is the truth, no liar. So just as he has said, you must live in Christ, never to depart from him." This teaching comes in the form of personal discipline. When we open God's word and we read and study and memorize that doctrine. But that is not all that happens. It's interesting because a lot of people will say, but if I read God's word, what happens next? I've tried. I don't understand it. I can't read it. I can't find the time for it. And I can tell you this, that the Holy Spirit is going to help us with it. This teaching comes in the form of personal discipline, but it goes further than that. A Christian who is spiritually disciplined knows that he is indwelt by the Spirit, but he also longs for and constantly prays to be filled by the Spirit. If you've sat in on our baptism class here at the Covell Community Church, you will know that we have taught this and we have suggested this thoroughly throughout that discussion. And we teach about the difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And there is a difference, and we're going to talk about that difference today. Indwelling is a one-time event that happens at our conversion when we choose to believe in and live for and love Jesus. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is on us. It happens when we pray to Jesus and ask him in the way of the Spirit to fill us. Let me give you an example of this. When you say, and I hope that everyone here has said, if you've not, you're going to have a chance today to say it and do it. But if you said, "I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus, and I choose to live my life for Jesus," here's what happens. The Holy Spirit says, "I'm going to come live within you." And when he comes to live within you and indwell you for that first time, and it doesn't have to happen again, there's a one-time event of this indwelling. He brings with him his filling, and he will fill you, and if you've felt it, I know you have, if you've given your life to Christ, you'll say, "Man, that was good. I remember the day I did it. I remember how it felt." And that filling and indwelling happens at the same time. It is important that we understand that this indwelling is a one-time event. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, he doesn't leave. He overstays his welcome, and that's a good thing because you want the Holy Spirit to be with you constantly and always. This is critical. Have we ever prayed for this? I mean, we pray for a lot of things, right? You know, Paul talks about this, and in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, Romans 8, 26 through 27, he actually talks about this praying and indwelling and filling. You can read that on your own time. What do we pray for? You know, if I would go in and sequester everybody, put them in a small room with a bright light shining on them and no drinks, most people would say, we pray for healing. We pray for understanding. We pray for guidance. We pray for teaching. We pray that our families will be safe. We pray that we'll be provided for and given to. These are the things we pray for. But I wonder how many people would say, "Oh, yeah, I prayed for Jesus to fill my heart. I prayed for the Holy Spirit to come in and live inside of me as I gave my life to Christ. And every single day, I pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit." Most of us would probably say, "I didn't even know we could do it." Well, today we have to know that this is something that we can and should do. You see, prayer is one of the spiritual disciplines, along with the reading of God's word, and prayer is our means and way to receive this Holy Spirit filling. Jude 20 says this, "You must build up your lives ever more strongly upon the foundation of our holy faith." Sounds like a workout. "Learning to pray in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit." Folks, here's what we know. Our praying should always lead to our filling. Every day, at all times, whenever you pray, and I don't know when that is, I know when it is for me, but whenever you pray, the first thing that you should pray for is forgiveness of the sins that you've committed, because we all do it. The next thing that you should pray for after you plead to God for forgiveness of your sins is you should pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We are governed and instructed and taught by the Holy Spirit. These are the things that we are called to pray for. How willing are we to do it? You see, most people just don't even know how to ask for it. A Christian who is spiritually disciplined is a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people in this world today, and folks, this is a sad case. It's a sad story, and I don't even like telling it. But there's a lot of people in churches today worldwide that are indwelt with the Holy Spirit but are not filled by the Holy Spirit. In essence, they've given their lives to Christ. They've committed their lives to Him. They've said, I love you, I live for you, and I want to be with you. But they've never asked to be filled. And what happens is, from a discipline standpoint, chronologically speaking, they may have done it as a kid, they may have done it as an adult. They gave their lives to Christ, but they said, but I don't like reading His Word. And I don't want to study His Word. Now keep in mind, the Holy Spirit's still indwelling them, but these people are not personally disciplined. And so they're not reading the Word. And they're not experiencing the filling of the Holy Spirit because they're not praying for it. And when that happens, they're not spiritually disciplined because they don't understand the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit and what He can do for them as they are called to read and live by His Word. We have a lot of believers today, a lot of people who are indwelt by the Spirit but are not filled by the Spirit. And I believe society is suffering because of it. What can we do about it? You know, it's interesting if we use examples as our means to see who was filled. It's interesting. Luke 4:1 says this, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:8, Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 6:5, Stephen full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:9, Paul filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were constantly and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? You see, spiritually disciplined Christians are always praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you some good news. The good news is this. I love my congregation. I love all of you and every single one of you. And so every single day that I pray and every time I pray right here during the offering and during the collection, I pray that my congregation will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're welcome. Now, the reason I do this is because I care about you and I want you to understand what that power feels like and what it can do for you. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your lives will change. Because that's what the Holy Spirit can do for all of us. And let's face it, folks, if we believe in Jesus, we need this. We absolutely need this. There are believers today who are walking on this earth saying, I don't understand what's happening in my life. I can't figure out what's happening in my life. I need direction and guidance in my life. And I can promise you this, it comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have to long for it. We have to want it. Are we praying to be filled? Sadly, we are always capable of committing sin. And this is why we have to continually be praying for this filling of the Holy Spirit. Sinning, or as Scripture refers to it, grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit, sinning empties the filling. Now, let me explain. I'm going to give you an example of this because I think this will help to understand this. When you give your lives to Christ, the day that you gave your lives to Christ, the day that you committed your life to Christ and said, I love you, I believe in you, I want to live for you, is the day that the Holy Spirit came into your heart and indwelt you. At that point, in that one time indwelling, He also brought with Him the filling. So in essence, you never felt better, I'm sure, than that day. I will tell you that I have never felt closer to Christ than the day I came to the altar and gave my life to Christ. I was literally plugged in on that day. Now here's what happens. I told you that He'll always live with you, but the filling will leave because sinning continues. I'm going to give you an example. Do you remember when you first got married? Man. I looked at my wife and I thought, man, did I do great. What's she doing with a clown like me? This is good. And we'd come home and we'd stare in each other's eyes and we would just have so much, there was so much love. You probably remember those days. Remember that day, the first time you came into your house. And this is important because hopefully you got married, you moved into your house, and that was that time when you're just everything was new and fresh and lovely and wonderful. It was for us. You see, you lived in that house, and with you in that house was a house full of love. Full of love. Everything you said and did was all about love. And then life happens. And all of a sudden, now you're realizing that now you're working, and now you're paying bills, and now you're trying to figure out how to live with each other, and now you're trying to figure out how to deal with each other, and then you have kids. And man, does that change things. And that whole love thing seems to change. Now keep in mind, you're still living in the house. You're still dwelling in the house. But the love, that immeasurable love that was in the house sometimes starts to dissipate a little bit. And you can say, yeah, we still live in the house, but the love that was once there, it's not in the house. And this is the exact same way it works with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't leave our hearts. He stays in our hearts. But the more we sin and the more we separate ourselves from God, the more that filling leaves. And we are in need of that filling. It's one thing to have the Holy Spirit living in your heart. It's another thing entirely to have the Holy Spirit filling your heart. And when he does this, I can assure you of this, you will feel differently. Think about your marriages. Think about early in those days when you stared in each other's eyes and you said, I'll never love anybody else. This is the greatest day ever. And think about 10 years later when you say, I think I might want to kill this person. I'm not sure. Things change. Things change. Our goal is to make sure that doesn't change. And it's the Holy Spirit's goal to make sure that doesn't change. So what we have to do is we constantly are praying for this filling. We're saying, God, I know that I've sinned against you. God, I know that I've taken part of me away from you. I need you fully in my heart. I need you to fill my heart. That's on us. This is what we pray for. This sinning and grieving or quenching of the Holy Spirit separates us from God. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Sin can do this. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Sin does it. A spiritually disciplined Christian says this. He says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to be that person anymore. A spiritually disciplined Christian says, I want to teach and train my children and be their godly example. A spiritually disciplined Christian says, I want to read God's word to enhance and improve my life and to ultimately become a disciple. Finally, a spiritually disciplined Christian says this, I will pray to Jesus and ask to be filled by the Spirit so that I can become so disciplined that I am fruitful because of the Spirit. Fruitful? What does that mean? I mean, now we're talking about the Holy Spirit and fruit? What is fruitful? What do you mean fruitful? Let me give you an example of this. My mom and dad used to love to take road trips when we were kids. We couldn't stand any of them. Terrible. Stalls, furniture, and car lots. Ugh. But on this particular occasion, Velma, I'm sorry, but on this particular occasion, we had to go down south to southern Illinois. And this was a yearly excursion, sometimes twice a year. And we'd have to go down south and get peaches. Now, I never figured this out. I mean, you go to Kroger. They have peaches, and it's a 10-minute drive. But we'd have to go down south 2 hours both ways down south. I didn't know where we went. It was down by where Velma grew up, I'm sure. And we would go down south and we'd get peaches. And I remember my mom and dad would be so excited about these peaches. Now I'm going to admit, they were great peaches. I'm not going to deny it. And when they brought them home, we'd eat all of them. But I didn't like the drive going down. So I got an idea one year. I thought it was pretty clever, actually. I was just a young kid. And so I ate a peach one day. It was delicious. And I thought, you know what? I can eliminate these drives down south. And so I took the peach pit. Is that? I don't even know if that's right. Seed peach pit? I don't even know what it's called. So I took the peach pit. And I went out in the backyard and I started burying the pits. I'd eat them and I'd bury them. I'd eat them and I'd bury them. My mom and dad never knew. Little shovel, dig, put it in there. Now, I'm not a gardener. That was proven by the fact that those peach pits never grew. They just rotted underground. But I will tell you, this was my idea. My idea was if I could grow a peach tree, you're going to see where this is going. If I could grow a peach tree, guess who would never have to go down south again? So I was thinking, if I grow a peach tree, I'm going to become fruitful, and mom and dad are going to thank me because now we don't have to go down south to get peaches. They never grew. We had to keep going down south. My point is this, we are called to be fruitful. It's just a lot of times we don't understand what fruitful means. So I'm going to look at our sermon text, which comes from Galatians 5, 16 through 25. Now before we read this, here's what I want you to know. There are passages in Scripture, you just got to commit to memory. We talked about it last week. Exodus 20 is what? Nicely done. Good job, guys. Look, I love that. All right, Exodus 20, Ten Commandments. Matthew 5 is? Sermon on the Mount. Whenever you hear Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. Galatians 5, think fruit. Every time you hear Galatians 5, just think fruit. If you want to think peaches or my backyard, I don't care. That's fine, but just think fruit. We're going to read it. Here it goes. Paul says, starting with verse 16, I advise you to obey only the Holy Spirit's instructions. He will tell you where to go and what to do, and then you won't always be doing the wrong things your evil nature wants you to. For we naturally love to do evil things that are just the opposite from the things that the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And the good things we want to do when the Holy Spirit has his way with us are just the opposite of our natural desires. These two forces within us are constantly fighting each other to win control over us, and our wishes are never free from their pressures. When you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you need no longer force yourself to obey Jewish laws. But when you follow your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results. Impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, spiritism, that is encouraging the activity of demons, hatred and fighting, jealousy and anger, constant effort to get the best for yourself, complaints and criticisms, the feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group, and there will be wrong doctrine, envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and all of that sort of thing. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here there is no conflict with Jewish laws. Those who belong to Christ have nailed their natural evil desires to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now, Scripture tells us that when the Holy Spirit would come to the earth and indwell and fill Christians, that he would do so much more. I mean, Jesus says in John 14:26 that he will teach us much. Look at verse 16. I advise you to obey only the Holy Spirit's instructions. In addition, and according to Jesus, in John 14:15-16, the Holy Spirit will comfort us. In John 16:8, Jesus goes on to say that the Holy Spirit will convict us. And as Philip, Acts 8:29, and Peter, Acts 10:19-20, and Paul and Barnabas, Acts 13:4, realized the Holy Spirit would guide and lead and direct their lives. Look at verse 16. He will tell you where to go and what to do, and then you won't always be doing the wrong things your evil nature wants you to. Look at verse 25. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Folks, this is what a spiritually disciplined Christian life looks like. It's led by the Holy Spirit. It's guided by the Holy Spirit. It's directed by the Holy Spirit. And we yield every single day to the Holy Spirit. We pray daily to be filled by the Spirit. You see, spiritually disciplined Christian life longs to be filled with the Holy Spirit so he or she can receive this comfort and conviction and guidance and instruction and provision that only the Holy Spirit can give us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16, and folks, these are strong words. And I want to share this. I want to give you a warning. Paul was very sincere in telling us about the world and how the world wouldn't understand the Holy Spirit. If you go out today and you talk to your unsaved friends and you say, hey, I was in church Sunday. Good sermon. We talked about the Holy Spirit. They're going to leave you like, what? Yeah, we even talked about fruit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should read that in Galatians 5. They're going to look at you like, what are you talking about? Well, listen to what Paul has to say about this. It'll make sense. This is 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. Paul says, that is what is meant by the Scriptures, which say that no mere man has ever seen or heard or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love the Lord. But we know about these things because God has sent his Spirit to tell us. And his Spirit searches out and shows us all of God's deepest secrets. No one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he's really like except that person himself. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us his Spirit, not the world's Spirit, to tell us about the wonderful free gifts of grace and blessing that God has given us. In telling you about these gifts, we have even used the very words given to us by the Holy Spirit, not words that we men might choose. So we use the Holy Spirit's words to explain the Holy Spirit's facts. Listen to this. But the man who isn't a Christian can't understand and can't accept these thoughts from God, which the Holy Spirit teaches us. They sound foolish to him, because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it in. But the spiritual man has insight into everything. And that bothers and baffles the man of the world who can't understand him at all. How could he? For certainly he's never been one to know the Lord's thoughts or to discuss them with him or to move the hands of God by prayer. But strange as it seems, we Christians actually do have within us a portion of the very thoughts and mind of Christ. The world doesn't understand the Holy Spirit. The world understands fruit going down south or eating jelly, but it doesn't understand the Holy Spirit's fruit. It just doesn't. And Paul makes that very clear. So how do we explain it? through the power and filling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand it as well. This is what God asks of us. You see, spiritually disciplined Christians can not only understand the Holy Spirit's instruction, but they act on it. This is what Christians do that are spiritually disciplined. They make better decisions. Before they act, they say, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide me, lead me, direct me, make sure I make the right decision, because let's face it, we've all made bad decisions. And I'm guessing that when we made those bad decisions, we probably didn't get down on our knees and say, all right, God, let's you and I talk about this. I'm facing this. I think it looks good, but I really want you to guide me, direct me, and help me to see if this is the right thing for me. Oftentimes, we don't do this. Conversely, we are given indicators and alerts and determiners in Scripture to help us determine if we might just be spiritually undisciplined. This is not a good list, folks. This is the list. You never, ever, ever want your stuff on this list. If you say, am I spiritually, you ask yourself, am I spiritually disciplined? Consult the list. Galatians 5, starting with verse 19, here it is. But when you follow your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results. Folks, if this stuff makes your list, we're in trouble. Impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, spiritism, hatred, fighting, jealousy, anger, constant effort to get the best for yourself. That's just being selfish. Complaints, criticism, the feeling that everyone's wrong except you. Wrong doctrine, envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, all that sort of thing. Folks, if you live with this list, I can tell you this, you are not spiritually disciplined. Those are harsh words. And you want to know something? In many cases, we've all dabbled in this list. Here's our goal. Our goal is to say this. I want that list to be in my past. I don't ever want to go down that road again, and I don't ever want to see myself or my activities or my actions on that list. We move from parental discipline to personal discipline, where we read His Word, to spiritual discipline, where we follow the teachings and the guidance and the instruction of His Word. And we look at this list and we say, that list should never be part of what I do today. It's part of my past. Folks, these that we just read, these are not spiritual fruits. These are sinful faults. They are worldly sins that, if not identified and repented of and forgiven, they can lead us to an undisciplined Christian life that can lead us further away from heaven. And Scripture tells us that. Paul tells us that. We must pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal these faults so that we can, through discipline, quit them. That's the goal. You're going to want to say, I don't want to go back to that life again. The other day, someone came up to me and they said, so why did you get out of radio? And I said, because I needed to. And they said, was it the best decision you ever made? I said, it was the best decision that God ever made. He made the decision for me, and it was the right decision. And at the time, I didn't see it. Today, I see it. Today, I see it. And we can look at these things, and we understand that that list is part of our past. Folks, if we do this, if we repent of our sins, pray for forgiveness, long to be filled once again by the Holy Spirit, we will be useful and fruitful, fully disciplined and determined to produce the very fruits that exemplify a disciplined Christian life. You want the list? This is the good list, folks. This is the fruit list. This is the fruit list. Listen to this. If you say, I want to know if I'm spiritually disciplined, remember this. The chronology says, number one, you have a better shot at it if you were raised and disciplined as a parent, as a child from a parent. Doesn't mean it has to be that way. We have a lot of people that come to Christ later on in life, and that's wonderful. A lot. Next step is, you want to be personally disciplined. You're going to know if you're personally disciplined if you say, I want to read and study God's Word. I want to. It sometimes might even be difficult, but I'm going to. And finally, if you say, I want to know if I'm spiritually disciplined, read the list. And here it is. And this is a strong, strong determiner if we are, in fact, spiritually disciplined. It's not part of our past. This is part of our present. Are we? And Paul says, Holy Spirit controls our lives. He's going to produce this kind of fruit in us. Love. Are we loving? Do we love others? Are we joyful? When we come into this church, are we joyful? Are you happy to be here? Folks, I look around and I see so many great people that are blessed in so many ways to be around so many good people. Are we joyful for that? Every day you get up, do you say, I can't believe how much God has blessed me. I've got this wonderful family, this group of friends, this great church, a good job. I've got cars and houses. I got things that I need. I'm joyful for this. Are we peaceful? Do we no longer get mad like we used to? I'm working on this list, folks, just to let you know. Are we patient? Are we more patient than we ever were before? That's a tough one for me, I'll be honest with you. I didn't tell you we're going to get all the fruits. This is like fruit cocktail. I'm not hitting all of them. Are we kind? Do people genuinely say that's the nicest person I've ever met? They're so kind. Are we good? Are we good and faithful and gentle? And do we show self-control? These are the fruits. This is a discipline list. That's the list that we want to be on. That's the list that we need to read. I'm going to read to you Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. Paul says this. He says, why is it that he gives us these special abilities to do certain things best? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him. Building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position, listen to this, to a position of strength and maturity. He goes on. Until finally we all believe alike about our salvation and about our Savior, God's Son, and all become full grown in the Lord. Yes, to the point of being filled full with Christ. Are we strong, maturing, spiritually disciplined Christians? Are we as parents teaching and training our children to become disciples as we lead them by our example? You see, that parental discipline, chronologically speaking, should lead then to personal discipline. We're reading and studying God's Word daily so that we can teach and reach this world that we live in. Once there, our spiritually disciplined lives will allow us as Christians to experience the Holy Spirit's comfort and conviction and guidance and instruction and provision of the very fruits that can impact our family and foes and friends. As Christians, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. This I assure you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, if you say, I've given my life to Jesus Christ, I live for him, I love him, I believe in him, I can tell you this, you got a resident in your heart. The Holy Spirit lives within your heart. That is a promise. The question is, what are we doing with him while he's there? Are we spiritually disciplined? We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We long to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's work and impact an ungodly world. Are we spiritually disciplined enough to do it? Regarding this desire for discipline, we must pray about it and then ask Jesus in our prayers to give us the Holy Spirit's power to accomplish it. If the chronology of Christian discipline is working, if it goes from parental to personal to spiritual, if it's working, we stand convinced today that what begins in the home will bring us to our heavenly home. And while a whole host of people that we minister to and talk to and spend time with and share with will know that they have been impacted by our dedicated discipline, and they'll be joining us in heaven. That's the goal. Folks, just because we have the Holy Spirit living in us doesn't mean that other people know Jesus. We are called to go out and make disciples. We're called to teach these disciples. And we're called to change this world. Are we spiritually disciplined enough to do it? I assure you this. If you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within you. If you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit must fill me and you. This is how we accomplish these tasks. This is how we change the world. So, we are called to be disciples. We're called to make disciples. We're called to teach disciples. And we're called to be examples. Examples of those individuals who are, in fact, disciplined. This is what I long for. I long for when people walk through the doors of this church for the first time, I hope and pray that they'll look around and say, wow, this is like no other church I've ever been in. These people are plugged in. They sing louder, they pray harder, they read better. They're kinder, they're gentler, they're more patient, they're full of love. They seem to care about each other. And when people walk through the doors of that church and they see this, this is what they're going to say. That must be a spiritually disciplined congregation. So today, we're going to give you a quick chance here. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you say this, I've never prayed for filling. Today's your chance to do it. We're going to do it silently. You don't have to come to the altar. You can do it right there in your pew. Because, folks, if you can do it in your pew, you can do it in your bedroom, you can do it in your bathroom, you can do it in your living room, you can do it wherever you're at. And you can always pray to be filled. I do it every day. Every day. And I do it multiple times per day because I know that I make a lot of mistakes every day. So we long to be filled. Today, if you'll bow your heads with me, I will lead us in prayer, but I hope that you will truly be praying for this filling. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads before you today, we do so knowing this. We do so knowing that we are yours. As believers, you have filled our hearts. You have indwelt our hearts. But we know that with sinning comes an emptying. We all sin. We're all guilty. We look back on the very things that we've done 2 days ago. We realize that we've made mistakes and done things to empty our hearts of that filling. Today, we ask for it back. I pray today that if there's someone in this church that's not a believer, that today they would say, Jesus, I believe in you, I live for you, and I love you. And I pray that they will experience this indwelling and filling that we speak of. For those who are believers in this church, many who have been believers for a long time, I pray today that you would fill their hearts. Help them to understand the fruits that they can produce and help them to understand the ushering in of the change in this world that they can do. And I pray today that you would help all of us to draw closer to you. This is what we pray for. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, we pray today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, this is Championship Sunday in the NFL. And so good old Dan comes up. Dan Vollmer, who is just, this guy's plugged in. All right, so Dan comes up and he says, we're supposed to sing this song. But he said, I'm going to call an audible. And he said, it's football Sunday. And you're right, Dan, it is. And so you are fully obliged to call an audible, and he is a Patriots fan. With that said, he came up and he said, Chad, there's a song that just fits in perfectly with this sermon. It's a song by Francesca Battistelli, and it's a song that fits in perfectly for this. So if you don't mind, Dan's your quarterback. He's calling an audible at the line. He didn't like the formation, so he's going to change this whole play. Today, we are going to sing a song that matches, I think, this sermon perfectly. Dan, strike up the band. Let's see what we got here. That's what spiritually disciplined lives look like. That's called being filled with the Holy Spirit. Dan, thank you for matching sermon with song. That's great. Well, folks, this is it. This concludes our three-part sermon series on the disciplines of a Christian person and being. And so I pray today that we're going to take these disciplines and we're going to use them and we're going to build on them. If you're parents, parental discipline is critical. As believers, personal discipline means reading God's Word and studying it daily. And spiritual discipline means producing the fruits that God has and has put inside of us. Today I pray that we will change the world through these. And I ask now as we go before the Lord in prayer that we'll be reminded of what it looks like to lead a spiritually disciplined Christian life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have moved through this sanctuary. We always pray that the Holy Spirit will fill this sanctuary. Today we pray that the Holy Spirit will fill everyone in this sanctuary. Change our lives starting today, I pray. Help us to long to spend more time in your word daily. I pray today that we would seek you out faithfully as we live our lives according to your Spirit's will and way. Thank you for what you bless us with and all that you do for us. And thank you for the growth that we experience as maturing Christians. That's what you want us to be. And I pray today that you will change us from the inside out. And I pray today that you would help us to impact this world that we work in and live in. I thank you for all that you bless us with. Keep us safe today. Help us to go and grow. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.